reading from the, I forgot what chapter, is either 20 or 21, of the Madhya Lila of Chaitanya Bhagavat. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Emata Pratidina Prabhu Vishvambara Brahmaye Nagara Sarva Sange Anuchar. In this way, Lord Vishvambar daily wandered throughout the city in the company of his followers. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Taksur Unmulatam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Vansha Kalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasa De Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So greetings from New Jersey. Yeah, I started up my next Monday morning greetings. And I can see that there are actually three prerequisites I need to actually have the insight to write. I need a strong sadhana, which keeps the mind very perceptive. I need to be studying Shastra, which gives me a frame of reference in which to view the world. And then I need periods of concentration where I can conceptualize and express the ideas. So I was thinking that, because I'm recovering from some kind of health thing, it seems to be getting a little better. But because those things were compromised, it actually, it enabled me to see what actually is required to do that service. And every week kind of produce something of a certain level of quality. Because I have no choice. The first realization that I have in my mind is the one I have to write on. I can't wait any longer. So I thought what I wanted to write about is disturbance in terms of change, that we're eternal, and therefore we're always, and of course, why does one want to live eternally? Why would one want to be eternal if it's miserable? We're eternal and we want bliss. So we try to duplicate that in our life. We try to get some set things within our life that are not changing because we're seeking that we like or give us pleasure. Now, whether or not they do or not, that's another analysis of what real happiness is. That the happiness of Uttama Bhakti, of pure devotional service, is just on another plane from likes and dislikes in the mind. It comes from a spiritual platform. And Uttama Bhakti is when you give up all frivolousness and focus on God's will, which is represented by Vandeham Sri Guru, Sri Guru Vaishnava, by one's teachers. by the Shastra. That's the real platform of eternality, but we're looking for that. And one of the disturbances, I'm speaking because sometimes when I speak, it activates my intelligence. I'm just using you to just get a little bit more inspiration to write. So one thing that is disturbing is that everyone within their lives has certain set things that they relate to their security and pleasure. And because of the modern world, we don't know what's set or not, and that's disturbing. And I gave an example of myself that one set phenomena that was under my control, it seemed, in my life is that I was going to Vrindavan. But now you don't even know if they'll allow immigration. You can't even make plans. So I wanted to discuss that kind of psychology and how ultimately, if one wants to be peaceful, he has to seek out real eternality. That's it. This is the soul. And the soul is consciousness. The soul is service. So we have to develop a liking for that. And when you develop a liking for that, it doesn't really matter. That you can actually have eternally. Anything else is temporary and therefore filled with duality. You know, we may have it for a certain time, but we're going to lose it. And certainly there's the factor of death. And the reason why death is the greatest fear is it's because when all your likings or attractions are finished. So anyway, I'm trying to think in those terms because I'm kind of amazed how set things in people's lives have been ripped out. For example, in Jagannath Puri, thousands of years they've been having the Jagannath Rath Yatra. They canceled the Jagannath Rath Yatra. It was a set thing in certain people's lives. And, you know, and so many things, the New York Rath Yatra, the Sadhu Sangha thing, whether you go to India, whether you go here, whether you travel here, what the future will be like. So it's really an impetus to become detached, and detached means to be happy with God's will. And if you have a liking to serve, then there's something permanent in your life, because it doesn't matter how the world moves around you, you still have the same opportunity for service. You never have the same opportunity for control. So that's kind of what I'm thinking, how there's such a major shift going on. And that's about the limit of my realization. Anyway, what I'm going to try to do today is cover a lot. Of this story, and maybe even finish it today, and not so much background, but we know, I mean, here it says Lord Vishrambar is wandering around this city. The impetus for what he does is love of Godhead. And therefore, it can't always be quantified. You can't always understand it. I gave the example, a child is playing. What does he do next? Well, there's no logic to it. It's born out of play and out of play. And Leela is play. It can move in any way. But he's wandering, and he wanders every morning. We sung that song, Udila Aruna Purubabagi. Dwijamani Gora Amini Jagi. Bakata Samahu Loya Sati Galen. With his devotees. And he's wandering, and he's living the ultimate reality, and the ultimate reality is relationship. and internal relationship with God and others in a spiritual way, in relationship to that jivasya tattva jigyasa, the realizing the soul, realizing God. So he's wandering around the, and we can actually envision it because there's kirtan involved. And we can't imagine what the kirtan of Lord Chaitanya is. It's not only the expertise, but it's the bhav, the devotion. I gave that definition of kirtan that Satya Hari wrote in one article. Kirtan is when the bhava in the heart is expressed by the discipline of music. So Lord Chaitanya, at the kirtan is carrying him. The direct energy of God is carrying him. So he's wandering in the village of Navadvip doing that kirtan. You know, when Lord Chaitanya's disciples came to visit him for the first time, 200 Bengalis, and King Prataparuja was a great devotee, he went to the roof with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Gopinathacharya. He wanted to see them coming. And when he saw their kirtan come, he said, I have never, ever heard a kirtan like this, which is a pretty amazing statement because in Orissa at the time, there were thousands of kirtan groups. And if you see the talent and the expertise of these professional kirtan groups, sometimes they come to Vrindavan, sometimes you'll see them. They all are dressed in golden matching clothes. And the dancing and the expertise. But what does it mean? He never saw something. He's never seen something. He's never experienced something. Because what it was communicating was so extraordinary. And that was the heart of a devotee and the devotion. It's just another platform of kirtan. So this is what Lord Chaitanya is doing. He's relating with his devotees, and this way he's Sankirtan. Sankirtanaika Pitaro, he's the father of Sankirtan, where there is a community worship of God, where there's that phrase, shared bliss is better than individual bliss, this commonality. It brings one off the limited concept of I and in relationship to God and the kirtan of the holy name and the reciprocation. Goloka Premadam Harinam Sankirtan. The reciprocation comes from the spiritual world itself. And it's something extraordinary. Maybe in your life you may be able to experience it. May be able to experience it several times, or, but it's something extraordinary. You can't quantify it musically. It's something beyond that. It's another dimension that's added to it. It's a conviction. And anybody who hears it feels that same conviction. So one day, so he's wandering. And just to say this story, it's about this one Devananda Pandit. He's a beautiful person with all good qualities, but he's not a devotee. And he's teaching the Bhagavatam. And Lord Chaitanya hears him teaching it. He can understand it's devoid of devotion. And the Bhagavatam's about devotion, and it actually can only be understood by devotion. Because one point Lord Chaitanya makes is that the message is God. The message is God. So if there's a person that properly can represent that message, it's God. And as any person, God is a person, so how is a person realized? A person is realized through relationship. You know a person when you love a person. And when someone loves you, then you are willing to give yourself to them. So when you love Krishna and you love the Bhagavatam, it goes beyond an intellectual process. It's experiential. You experience something. So Lord Chaitanya is kind of quite upset that this person who has no devotion is teaching the Bhagavatam and therefore missing the essence of the Bhagavatam, which is devotion. And when he hears his explanations, he's so upset that he actually wants to rip up his book. He's so upset. He wants to rip up his book and they stop him. So now we'll just follow the Leela. I usually give longer introductions. One day, Lord Vishwambar was wandering in the city along with Srivas Pandit. So, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Srivasade Gaur Bhaktavinda. So this is Srivas. He's Pancha Tattvat Makam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Surupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktavyam Namami Bhakti. He's the devotee in the five aspects of God. He's the devotee. And he has such incredible devotion. So when he hears the Bhagavatam, it's a direct experience of Krishna. And he feels it very, very deeply. As Vishwambar was passing by a tavern at the edge of town, he smelled the wine. On smelling the wine, the son of Sachi remembered Varuni and assumed the mood of Balaram. So there's a pastime where Balaram was intoxicated by this Varuni, which is honey wine. And then, so Lord Chaitanya gets in all this mood because Lord Chaitanya is not just avatar. He's not just one who descends, he's avatari. He's the source of all avatars. That's our understanding. That Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan and Lord Chaitanya is Swayam Bhagavan. So all the incarnations are in him. And then Lord Chaitanya, who wants to relish this highest ecstasy, he's in that mood. He loses his external consciousness and starts roaring and repeatedly, I will go in, I will go in. And then Srivas, his devotees, grabbed his feet and just held on. He said, you're not going to go in, you're not going to go in. And then the Lord said, I am not subject to rules and regulations. Nevertheless, Srivas. So what does it mean you're not subject to rules and regulations? It doesn't mean you don't follow them. It means your impetus for what you do is not based on a rule. It's based on your attraction. So naturally, one is above the rules and regulations and has an attraction for Krishna. Naturally, he doesn't have illicit sex. Naturally, he doesn't gamble. Naturally, he doesn't eat meat. Naturally, he doesn't take intoxication. He's above the rules and regulations means he's not restricted by a rule. He just has love of Godhead. And when you have love of Godhead, Vishyavini Vartante Niraharasya Dehana Vasorajam Raso Pyasya Param Drishvana Vartate. You have a higher taste. But somehow or other, he's also God. He's not subject to the rules and regulations. And he's in this pastime of Balaram. And Srivas is saying, he stops him. And Srivas, he's concerned. He said, you're the father of the universe. If you break these principles, then who will protect them? And this is such an important principle of society. And see how it's abused today. You know, it described in the entrance of Kali Yuga, how the age of iron ended 5,000 years ago, this age of quarrel and confusion, this age of insanity, how it entered is when a young Brahmin boy cursed Maharaj Bricket. Because he was in a seminal succession, he had power, but he lacked culture. So this is the destruction of everything when those in power lack culture. Lack culture. So there's such an important principle. It's in the Bhagavad Gita, it stated, yad acharate shreshtas tatad eve taro janaha. Whatever great men do, the common men will follow. So even if something is not applicable to a great man, he still has to follow it because it causes such destruction. That's why in modern age, the sannyas ashram, it has to set the proper example of renunciation, because that's its whole purpose, that society should see that the highest thing is not accruing position and power, but the highest thing is actually not having it. Of course, in the modern age, the reason that there's sannyas is to lead preaching movements, and it's for leaders, et cetera. So it gets a little confused, but that's the principle. That's the principle. So Srivas is terrified. He's terrified. If Lord Chaitanya goes in and does this pastime and drinks wine, and he said, how many people understand your pastimes? They'll criticize you, and then they'll be finished birth after birth. Don't do this. Who can understand your pastimes? Don't do this. And then he looks at Lord Chaitanya and does the only thing he can do. If you enter this tavern, I will give up my life. So Lord Chaitanya knows that he'll do it. Because there's another thing in a proper culture. Once one says something, they're bound to it. And this was a great secret. This was a great secret of spiritual life, and why so much of the Shastra and the preliminary text, Mahabharata, so much were about honesty, because it was such a power. If you say something, you have to do it. So this samskara of truth is more important than life. You know, I met people from Prabhupada's generation when I first came to India, and they would die rather than lie. I've seen people. They would say something once, and that was it for the rest of their lives. No rationalization. Look at Krishna's father. Krishna's father, Vasudeva. What is Krishna's father, Vasudeva? He told Kamsa, I'll bring you the children. Oh, he said, okay. Because Kamsa heard the Akashvani, the unembodied voice that said the eighth child of Devaki will kill him. He said, I'll kill Devaki, I'll solve the problem. He said, why kill Devaki? I'll give you the... Kamsa said, okay, because he knew. There's nothing too difficult for a man of integrity in terms of his duty. Bhishma. He made a vow of celibacy, even though he's such a big kshatriya, warrior. Bhishma means great vow. So So he knew that once the word is said, it would have to be followed. So Lord Chaitanya said that, okay, I'll not enter. I cannot enter now. I cannot enter. And okay, this is the pastime, and Lord Chaitanya, he's continuing to wander, and he gives up this mood of Balaram, and he's walking down the road. Tatai, tatai, bajalako. Gana gana, gana jandere ro, prema dala dala sangara. Mukundam. Anyway, he's just walking slowly. And then this is just describing as he's walking, and then these drunkards, they see Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya is so beautiful. He's Ajanu Lambita Bujo. His hands are very big. A long arms, that's a very auspicious body. He had all the symptoms of a Mahapurusha, great person. And he's so attractive and he's so devotional. And then the drunkards began to follow Lord Chaitanya and they began to dance and chant also. And they're chanting. So now Lord Chaitanya's following and there's drunkards and they're just chanting and dancing. And and Lord Chaitanya turns around and he begins to laugh seeing these drunkards, and Srivas is crying his ecstasy because he sees what is the power of the Lord and his devotees. And interspersed with these descriptions are comments by Vrindavan Das Thakur, who's writing, and he's astounded, and he says, even drunkards felt happy to see the Lord, whereas sinful sannyasis who saw him simply engaged in blasphemy. Nothing is worse than envy. It ruins all good qualities. We are born into this world with that quality. Icha dvesha samutena dvandva mohena bharata. We're born into this world overcome with the dualities of desire and hate. And of course, that desire is not just to enjoy, it's to be better than others. And therefore, concomitant with that desire is the hate. So, Vrindavan Das Thakur, worse than the sinful activities is the hateful consciousness. We know that a lot of times in the Shastra, these things are trying to be exhibited. That famous story is that this Brahmin, Satkarma Nipano Vipro Mantra Tantra Visharada, he Satkarma Nipano, he knew all the karmas, mantra tantra, he knew all the mantras and the tantras, he had all the good qualities. But there was a prostitute, and that was her occupation, somehow by karma. So this Brahmin became very upset about this prostitute living next door. And every time a man came to see the prostitute, the Brahmin would throw a stone over the wall. And of course, the end of the story, who goes back to Godhead? The prostitute, and not the Brahmin. And why? Because every time the stone was thrown over the wall, the prostitute felt, I'm just so fallen. I'm just so fallen. And the Brahmin thought, I am better than you. I am better than you. So, of course, our activities reflect our consciousness. But the most contaminating thing is the consciousness. And sometimes someone does something wrong, but they have the mood, I'm so fallen, I'm so fallen, I'm so fallen. And God can appreciate that consciousness more than someone who's proud of his strictness. And of course, the best thing is you have the best consciousness and the best activity. But it's the consciousness, stupid, as they say. And Vrindavan Das Thakur, he really wants to instruct us. So he says, one who feels unhappy on hearing the glories of Lord Chaitanya does not attain happiness in any birth or any ashram. I offer my obeisances even to a drunkard who saw the incarnation of Sri Chaitanya Chandra. We can't imagine our fortune practically being born in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. It's very rare. Very rare. Somehow or other, you have to be ready to accept Lord Chaitanya. And you can't accept Krishna without accepting Lord Chaitanya, because it's only through Gaudiya Vaishnav philosophy that you can actually understand Radha and Krishna. So we can't imagine our fortune 500 years after Lord Chaitanya, and then Prabhupada appears. It's something fortunate. We're like the drunkards. Our activities are not so good. But if we can appreciate, Prabhupada said we advance by appreciation. I always quote Voltaire, that which we appreciate belongs to us. So despite all our troubles, all our difficulties, if we can appreciate the right things, then we're so fortunate. And then after glancing with his mercy after the drunkards, then Lord Chaitanya kept on going through the city. And then after walking some distance, he sees this Devananda Pandit. And he somehow meets him on the road. And he looks at him with such anger. And the real anger is not only did he misrepresent the Bhagavatam, but he disrespected those who do appreciate it and understand it the right way. Because Srivas Pandit, we can imagine what Navadvip is like, even if you go there, you know, nice ashrams, nice houses, you know, and there's katha going on. So Srivas saw that this Brahmin who was very learned and very well behaved and very peaceful. And Srivas Pandit previously, he went and he sat. And even though Devananda Pandit wasn't able to highlight devotional service, even if he would explain certain of the leelas, it wouldn't have the right conviction. Srivas Pandit was such a great devotee that he was completely stimulated. It's called Udipan. Udipan is one very important part of spiritual life. It means what inflames your devotion. And when you're very advanced, you're very, very sensitive. So it's not difficult to inflame your devotion. So he goes and he starts hearing the Bhagavatam, and he understands what the Bhagavatam is. Nigama kalpa taro galitam phalam sukamukat amrita dravya shamyatam vibhata bhagavatam rasamala, that you can drink this beautiful exchange of love. Everything in the Bhagavatam is love at the highest level. Every word, every speaker. Because when they say something or something's described, it's an expression of love for Krishna in different ways, whether it's describing the creation or the kings or whatever other subject is in the Bhagavatam to attract so many varieties of people. When you have devotion, I had one sadhu friend, a very interesting story he told me. He lifted up his shirt and he had this big scar. He had this operation. And this sadhu, he used to be a champion athlete. He was about 50 years older than me. So he told the story that, you know, he was in his town and he met a disciple of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and he became inspired to leave everything and join one ashram. And his guru saw that he was intelligent and he gave him some work and he was translating on the desk. And that's because he used to be active. He got very, very sick. So one day he became frustrated and he just left for Govardhan in a very, very emotional state. But he said every time he saw a devotee, he cried. Every time he chanted the holy name, he cried. Every time he looked at Govardhan, he cried. And of course, he realized the source of his devotion was his guru. He went back to his guru, but he was very, very sensitive. Just like Rupa Goswami has that verse about the holy name, Tunde Tandavani Ritim, Tadlavyute Karna Krodha Kandambani. I can't imagine how much nectar is in these two syllables, Krishna. When they enter on my tongue, I wish to have many, many tongues. And when they enter into the my ears, I wish to have many, many ears. And when they enter into the courtyard of my heart, the senses become inert. I can't imagine how much nectar is in these two syllables, Krishna. Bhakti is love, and it's high love. It's love for God. And when one has it, it's very emotional. So Srivas Thakur, when he heard the Bhagavatam, even though the speaker wasn't proper, but just hearing the stories and hearing one word, he started to express the emotions. And the disciples of Srivas Pandit, of Devananda Pandit, threw him out of the assembly. So this is Lord Chaitanya disrespecting a devotee. At that time, the Lord had not yet revealed himself, so the entire world was suffering in the absence of love of God. Even though some people taught the Gita or the Bhagavatam, topics of devotion were never heard from them. At that time, Devananda Pandit was highly respected by people as a most sober and saintly person. Sevam, Dvora, Mahurva. So there's Mahatmas, and they may be impersonalist also, according to the Bhagavatam. So somehow or other, he was a great soul. He had all good qualities, except one, which is the most important one. Because it's the quality that connects you to eternality. The other qualities are simply connections to your mind. It's just the bhakti bhagavat akinchana sarvai gunas tatva samastate saha harava bhaktasya katoma mano rite dasati bab mano rite. It's the charity of the mind based on like, hate, and then it changes. But this is the soul. He didn't have this devotion yet. And, you know, he always, from a very childhood, he taught the Bhagavatam. And he was very, like a sannyasi. So he was very impressive. So what happened is one day Srivas went to hear from him. And every syllable of the Bhagavatam is filled with ecstatic love. So Srivas' heart melted. Jiva Goswami made a commentary on the third verse of the Bhagavatam where it says, Bibita Bhagavata, you drink this, it's relishable. He said, you cannot say there is rasa. Rasa means perfected love at the height, love of Godhead at the height. Rasa means to be consumed by emotion. So be consumed by bhakti at its height. You can't say that there's rasa in the Bhagavatam. What? He said, because that may indicate that there's some place in the Bhagavatam where it is not. He says, what you can say is the Bhagavatam is simply composed of rasa. And he gave an example of a mango where you ate the skin. When I visited Colombia for the first time, and I went to the hacienda of Shyamsundari's parents. Wow, so beautiful. And we're sitting outside and her father came with a basket of mangoes and take one. So I'm peeling, he said, no, you eat the skin. And those became my favorite mangoes. So he said, the Bhagavatam's like that, everything. So Srivas, every syllable was this rasa, this ecstatic prema mayi. It was filled with prema. Akshare, akshare, bhagavata prema mayi. Shunya, Dravila's heart melted when he heard this. So as he began to hear this, Srivas Thakur, he began to sigh very deeply and he began to cry. And then the students of Devananda Pandit became disturbed. Just tell you a quick story. Okay, I see Gopal Champu is here. I'll give him some time at the end. He'll explain if you want to get a full set of the Chaitanya Bhagavat. He can explain how to get it. So I'll just tell you, when I first came to Krishna consciousness, when I came back from California and I met the devotees in California, when I came back, I tried to find the temple. So the address was 61 Second Avenue. They had 26 Second Avenue and 61 Second Avenue. So we went there and they said, no, we just moved to Brooklyn. So I went to Henry Street. And it was an all-star temple because they had the press there. They had the best kirtaneers, the best speakers, the best cooks. Amazing. The best prasad, the best kirtans, the best classes. And I go for breakfast. And they were expert, the hot spicy dal. And they would put on a tape. There was someone explaining what Prabhupada said. And it was all brahmacharis. And they were all very thin and very sober, and they were sitting in lines of seniority. So I come there, and I come to take lunch, and what do? I start talking to the person next to me. And I remember in unison, Jayadvaita, Gopijanavallabha, all these austere brahmacharis in unison, they took, because they took, that's the highest standard you take quietly, listening to katha. They just went like this, all turned. I got the message. So when Srivas was sighing and crying, all these, the Supa said, this is such a disturbance. We're unable to, our time is wasted. But Srivas couldn't control his crying. And although he's so dear to Lord Chaitanya, they dragged him out. And they dragged him outside. And Devananda Pandit did not stop them. As the guru is devoid of devotional service, so is students. The term sisha, for disciples, sisha means one who takes the mood of his guru. So the guru can, is responsible for the disciples, and when they do wrong and they harm another, it's his duty to correct them. And he didn't do it. And then Srivas came to external consciousness. And Vishvambhar, the Supreme Lord, Lord Chaitanya knew about it. So he was aware of it. So when Lord Chaitanya was walking down the street, and as soon as he said, now, that happened before, and he sees this Devananda Pandit, in an angry mood, he said to him, oh, Devananda, let me tell you something. Now you were teaching Bhagavatam to everyone. Srivas, who even the Ganga desires to see, once went to your class. What offense did he commit that your students threw him out? Is it proper to throw someone out of a Bhagavatam class who is crying in love of Godhead? I can understand that even though you teach Bhagavatam, you haven't realized anything in its purport in any of your lifetimes. One who eats to the full satisfaction feels happy when he goes out to the world. But I tell you, even though you teach Bhagavatam, which is full of ecstatic love, you have not achieved happiness. You're a cheater. After hearing the Lord's words, the exalted Brahmana, Devananda, felt ashamed, and he did not reply, and Vishvambhar departed after his angrily chastising. And Devananda returned home in distress. Yet Devananda was very fortunate, for the Lord personally chastised him. Only a person, most fortunate person, receives punishment from Lord Chaitanya. If one dies as a result of the Lord's punishment, then one goes, he attains Vaikuntha. So it's beyond duality. And the Lord is neutral. So whether he blesses you or he punishes you, it's for your benefit. One who faithfully accepts Lord Chaitanya's punishment attains ecstatic love as a result. A sinful person who does not fear Lord Chaitanya's punishment is fit for Yamaraja's punishment life after life. Krishna appears in the world first in terms of four items. He appears as the Srimad Bhagavatam, as Tulsi, as Ganga, and as the devotees. So it says, then it explains, it's an interesting point, by invoking life in the deity form, that form becomes worshipful. So you have a deity form, and then there's something called pran pratishta. And then by a certain ceremony, by pure souls, the Lord agrees to manifest in the deity form. But it says in terms of these four things, from the moment of their appearance, they are Krishna. They manifest Krishna. You say, what, a devotee manifests Krishna? Because Krishna is in the heart of the devotee. In fact, in the Satya Yuga, they didn't even have deities. You didn't need deities because people were so pure, they manifested Krishna in their heart. So these things, from the very beginning, let me see how much. Okay, let me finish the chapter. I do not know the beginning or end of topics concerning Lord Chaitanya, yet somehow or other I am describing his glories. I offer my obeisances at the feet of Lord Chaitanya's servant so they may not consider my offenses. The topics of Madhyakanda are like a pot of nectar. By hearing these topics, the atheism with one's heart is vanquished. Lord Nityananda is most dear to Lord Chaitanya. May the Lord and his servants never forsake me. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Chandrajan Vrindavan Das Tachu Pari Yuga Gan. Accepting Sri Chaitanya and Nityananda as my life and soul, I, Vrindavan Das, sing the glories of their lotus feet. So we somehow finished that chapter where it described the importance of the Bhagavatam and the importance of the devotees, which are in the category of the Ganga and Tulsi. And it's the four ways in which God manifests in this world. Okay, Gopal Champu, if you want to tell people how they can get the book if they want, you can tell them, and any other books. And then we'll share ourselves, okay?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Bhagavan. Do you all remember Gopal Champu from the New York City Harinam Ashram? Okay, Hare Bhagavan. Yeah, Gopal Champu. Tell him what you...
Thank you, Maharaj, for allowing me to come on here.
Yeah.
And share this with people. So we have a shipment of Chaitanya Bhagavat sets coming from India, which was, you know, a colossal feat to have them maybe cross over the border. So they allowed us to get 50 sets shipped out. So we have 50 sets on the way. These are translated. It's a 7-volume set that's translated by Bhumipati, who I believe is a disciple of
Srila Prabhupada. Yeah.
So, and it has the commentary of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Prabhupada also. So we'll have these sets available for devotees. And the way you can get in contact with me is
You want to put the information on the side right after this?
Yeah, I can do that. I can do that. Yeah.
Okay. He'll put all the information on the side. Yeah. Okay.
And then, so we have those available. And also, we do have a couple of special sets that are still available that are out of print, actually. the Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav, which is it's a 3-volume biography of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Prabhupada. And then we have all the other books that are available, Srila Prabhupada's books.
Yeah, okay, put that information on the side. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav is a masterpiece on the life of Bhaktisiddhanta. It's the most complete, very well-written analysis and describes everything in a very scholarly way. Okay. Thanks, Gopal Champu. Haribo, thank you so much. Put the information on the side, okay? Okay, thank you. Would anybody like to share anything that struck them from today's class? It was more Leela than just the philosophy. Jamuna Jaya.
Okay, Jamuna, go for it. Hare Krishna.
No, you go for it.
Okay, thank you.
You go.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Thank you, Yamuna. Thank you. Hare Krishna Maharaj. Thank you for a wonderful class. I really liked many points. I really loved it when you spoke about Bhagavatam that is composed of Leela and is sweet everywhere, like mango is sweet everywhere. I also appreciated when you spoke that Krishna really like more the consciousness, the state of consciousness when someone even makes some mistakes but humbly says, I'm fallen, rather than the consciousness of being right and proud. So I really like that because it shows how Krishna is accepting and merciful and kind. And it stuck with me the point when you spoke about envy, that there is no worse thing than envy, that is at the root of that hateful mentality. And I was wondering that in my situation, in my heart, I sometimes do see envy. And I was wondering if you could advise me how to deal with that, you know, in a practical way when that envy actually pops out in my life.
Well, I'll just give some advice is you either try to glorify or serve that person.
Okay.
And you can repeat in your mind, Trinadapi Sunichena, Tororapi Sahishnana, Amanina, Madanina, Kirtaniya Sada. Once you chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street, more intolerant than the tree, devoid of all prestige, and offering all respects to others. And think of that person.
Okay. Thank you so much, Maharaj. Okay. I really love the class. Thank you.
Thank you. Jamuna Jaya?
Hi, Maharaj. Thank you. And thank you for that last point. That was wonderful. I was thinking something you said right at the beginning. To be detached is to accept God's will. And you always make the point of saying about how one could be a householder and be detached. Because that's the true detachment, is like being open and being Krishna, I'm yours, whatever you say is best. So I really love that point so much. That's true detachment.
And I think the point I want to make is unless we come to that point, we're not going to easily get through how the world is changing. Unless we can accept Krishna's will and not establish our will so strongly that every time something doesn't go our way, we just become completely disturbed, completely upset. It's the only way, and it's not an easy platform. But we have to be happy with Krishna's will. Okay, thank you, Jamuna Jaya. Anybody else like to share?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Kierma.
Nice to see you.
So good to be here. I purchased your book this morning, so thank you. I'm excited.
Oh.
And I just wanted to say, when you said the message is God, it was just so direct and it just like pierced right through and just reverberated throughout my whole being. So it's just important to remember that. And, you know, when you said that everything is an opportunity for service, that was just a beautiful reminder. So thank you.
Thank you. Guillermo, we have to come to that platform. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to myself also. It's the blessing that we have in this life that Krishna has given us some connection, at least to have some understanding that there is a God and his will is absolute and that we could love him and that we can actually serve him. It's a blessing. It's not that it's easy, but it's not any easier for people, no matter what they have, what they do, because they're all going to die and they're going to lose everything. And if you don't have that realization, the anxiety and pain is unlimited.
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj.
Hi, both, yeah. You have one question? Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hey, Krishna Maharaj.
Hey, Jai Kishore, Haribo. Okay, great. Anybody else?
Hey, Krishna Maharaj, Tota Gopinath here.
Haribo, Tota.
Haribo.
We'll see you in the weekend. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, anybody else?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. Namaste.
Oh, Namaste. Okay, so great.
Haribo. Thank you. Thank you, Maharaj.
I'm in your country, so great. Okay, anybody else say hello?
Yeah, Hare Krishna Maharaj. It's Isabel.
I got your nice letter this morning. Thank you. I'll respond to it.
Okay. Thank you. I'm glad you're feeling better.
Okay, let's see. Okay, anybody else?
Haribo Maharaj.
Jan, Haribo.
I was just remembering, since we were always in New York in the summer, trudging around looking for those temples, and whenever it's hot in New York, I have a feeling of memory about those times.
Wow, yeah. And that prasad. Okay, let's touch base soon. Okay, anybody else? Say hello. Oh, my favorites. Okay. Okay, thank you for coming on. Okay, anybody else say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Sri Rupa.
Hi, Bo, Sri Rupa. Great. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Sudama.
Hey, Sudama. I'm traveling all over your country.
Yes, in our hearts, Maharaj.
Well,
thank you. Thank you very much.
Great to see you. Okay, anybody else?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, Lal Govinda.
Hare Krishna. Hare Bo. Hare Bo. Hare Bo. Okay, anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Lisa. Thank you for the class.
Hare Bo, Lisa. Okay, anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Don Cayley. Thank you.
Hi, Bo. I should be up there by the second week of July if I feel I fully recovered my health.
Great. Yeah, I got the email from Cayley.
Yeah. Yeah, at least for a week or two initially.
Okay.
We'll make some good plans. Okay. That's my cook-up state, Don Cayley. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay, then I'll leave for today. I get a good sense who's there anyway, because I could see the names on the side. And just thank you all for coming. Okay, Panchakalpa to the Bhishma.